This is Forum. I'm Michael Krasny. The California Public Utilities Commission recommended penalizing PG&E $2.25 billion for the 2010 San Bruno gas line explosion that killed eight people, and the CPUC staff recommended the hefty penalty, which would be the largest penalty ever brought by a state regulator in the United States, citing the severity of the damage and PG&E's reprehensible, that's a quote, failures. We want to discuss in this segment the proposed penalty, what has changed since the deadly blast, and joining us first is Commissioner Mike Florio. He's commissioner with the California Public Utilities Commission. And Commissioner Florio, good to have you with us. Good morning.
Good morning.
Could you just lay out these recommendations for us and tell us what's next before we even go into them?
Yes, this is the recommendation of our Safety and Enforcement Division, Brigadier General Jack Hagan, the director of the division, is recommending the $2.25 billion penalty, all of which would be reinvested into the gas system to bring it up to the highest standards of safety. That's in contrast to the typical situation where if there's a violation, a fine is levied that then goes to the state general fund. In light of the fact that customers were really the victims here, the recommendation is to spend the money improving the system.
As opposed to just and making it safer, as opposed to just an outright penalty for PG&E to pay.
Right. And that recommendation will go before the two administrative law judges who have been hearing the various allegations against PG&E, and then they will make a recommendation that will come to the five commissioners later this year.
And the money to fix, for example, neglected pipes it should be out of profits, not out of rates. In other words, shareholder.
That's correct. Yes, that's the whole point, is that it's a recommended penalty. Now, you know, the commission isn't bound by this recommendation. We could do something different, but some of the legislators have suggested in the past that this money should go back to benefit customers and safety, and that's what we'll be considering when this comes before us.
And again, if you've just joined us, we're talking with Commissioner Mike Florio, who is a commissioner with the CPUC, the California Public Utilities Commission. We did invite a representative of PG&E. They declined to join us this morning. And we should probably point out, Commissioner Florio, I think it's the word reprehensible came up in the introduction here about PG&E's neglect. And the report makes pretty clear total responsibility for this disaster on their part and the fact that it was indeed totally preventable.
That is the position of the Safety and Enforcement Division. The full commission has not yet voted on those recommendations, but there's pretty thorough documentation in the materials that they've filed with us.
Commissioner, I thank you for joining us. Appreciate your being with us this morning. Again, Commissioner Mike Florio of the CPUC. Let me tell you who else is with us for this segment. Here in studio, we have Marcel Harviger, who is staff attorney with TURN, the Utility Reform Network. Welcome to the program. Good morning.
Thank you very much, Michael. Thank you for inviting us.
And we've also invited Jim Ruane, who is mayor of San Bruno, who's with us online this morning. Mayor Ruane, good to have you.
Good morning, and thank you.
Good morning. And Jerry Hill, California State Senator, who represents the 13th District, which includes San Bruno. Senator Hill, good to have you.
Thank you, Michael. It's a pleasure.
Let me begin with the representative from TURN, Marcel Harviger, and let's talk about the CPUC and PG&E. I mean, you're critical of both here, I think, it's safe to say.
Absolutely. Especially PG&E is obviously the one that has violated thousands and thousands of safety regulations over the past 60 years and caused the problems and caused the explosion. But the Public Utilities Commission has been extremely lax in its regulation of PG&E and so has contributed to the problem. And frankly, this is the moment where the Public Utilities Commission has an opportunity to do the right thing and to follow the recommendation of its own Safety and Enforcement Division.
Tony Early, the head of PG&E, has said publicly that they have taken full accountability. You would not agree.
That's what they've said publicly. But in the proceedings at the Public Utilities Commission, where the commission's safety division has documented a pattern over 50 years of violating literally hundreds of regulations, PG&E has not admitted to almost a single violation of the standards or laws, except for two very minor things. They didn't put in the right procedures in some work, repair work, and they didn't drug test. Everything else, they said, is just happened.
Now, this we spoke with Commissioner Florio, and he said the money, the recommendation is that the revenue would come from the pockets of shareholders. But there have been talk about accounting tricks to bill ratepayers. Can you give us some sense of what you're concerned about on that front?
Sure. You know, I think the key point is that we absolutely agree with the Safety and Enforcement Division that PG&E can and should pay $2.25 billion to fix its broken pipeline system and to account for its numerous violations. The one issue that really troubles me is that we all agree that PG&E should get some credit for money that its shareholders have already spent.
It's $1.4 billion, isn't it, that they're already getting credit for?
Well, that's the question. You know, in the official document that the Safety and Enforcement Division submitted yesterday, they didn't name a number at all. In the press release that the commission issued, it said that PG&E has said it has spent over $1 billion. Now, we have calculated the amount to be closer to $780 million, and I certainly hope that the commission doesn't take PG&E's word for how much it has spent.
They will indeed get the opportunity, though, to deduct what they have spent. Is that correct?
We all agree that what they've spent to actually fix the system that they were required to fix, yes, they should be given credit for that.
And we also should mention that whatever comes out of PG&E shareholders' pockets is tax deductible.
It is for fixing their system. There is a different tax impact for if they pay any money as a penalty to the state. And Turn has proposed that they do both, that they spend $1 billion to fix their pipeline system and pay a fine to the state of about $670 million. And the tax impacts of those two are different.
Again, Marcel Haviger is here with us in studio. He's staff attorney for TURN, the Utility Reform Network. Jim Rowan is also with us this morning, the mayor of San Bruno. Mayor, happy with this?
Happy with the overall amount of money, but San Bruno would really like to see PG&E fined. Even though it goes directly to the state of California, they should not be given any credit for, if you will, time served or monies to be paid. They shouldn't receive a credit for monies that should have been spent that could have prevented this disaster. So we want to make 1.25 of this whole number a punitive number. We feel that they should pay for this.
Now, the devil's in the details, isn't it?
The devil's in the details, and here we go. You know, $2.25 billion, they're going to get massive credits, according to this, and I don't have all the details, no one does, of where it's going to come down, and the credits are going to lie. It's difficult for us to say at this point in time, but it's like I said, it's like, you get a speeding ticket from the CHP, and you've got to pay $500 to the state of California. But the state says, wait a minute, don't worry about the fine. We're going to give you some driving lessons instead. So don't. It's not right. I don't like the overall sense of what the CPUC is proposing or their staff. I'm looking at it as $2.25 billion, and they're going to get a chance to take the money, that money that they should have spent over the last 25, 30, or 40 years to repair the pipelines they should have worked on for many years.
Well, what do you say, Mayor Rowan, to, again, this is Tony Early. We did invite PG&E, and they declined, but the CEO of PG&E said if they're penalized, if, what you're recommending would go into the general fund and largely be subject to penalties, he called it excessive. He said it would make it more expensive to actually finance the improvements to the system.
Well, maybe they just have to work a little harder. I mean, isn't that the point? The company says it doesn't have the cash to cover some of these penalties. He called it excessive. What about causing the death of 8 people, the destruction of an entire neighborhood? I mean, isn't that enough reason for for paying to this corporation and lessons learned. What justice has been done?
Neighborhood's still struggling, isn't it?
Yeah, we will. We're in what I would call phase three of the rebuild. It's going to extend right beyond the actual blast site, but the whole neighborhood has to be reconstructed as far as water lines, sewer lines, and all that. We have to reforest a canyon. We have to build a city park. So we have about another 10 to 12 months ahead of us, and 26 homes are being built or will be built, and we have another 12 that are owned by the city and PG&E, and they will be developed.
And again, Jim Ruane is with us by phone. He's mayor of San Bruno, and Jerry Hill is California State Senator who represents the 13th District, which includes San Bruno. And Senator, I believe you were quoted as saying this is a wonderful decision.
Well, it's a wonderful decision in the sense that two things. One, it is a substantial amount. The dollar amount is large enough, and it's something that the independent report that the CPUC conducted to determine what PG&E could pay and still be a viable company. It's within that range. So I think Mr. Early's comments that this will create a problem is certainly false in his statement. They make a guaranteed 10.4% return on their investments, and their cost of borrowing is probably down in the 4 or 5%. So there's still a 5% cushion there that will allow them to make the profits necessary. And I also like the idea that the money will go to the safety improvements that are necessary that ratepayers would otherwise be making those payments and the cost of. Because to me, if it were a penalty that would go into the general fund of the state, then those residents in Southern California and Los Angeles, Bakersfield, those who are not served by PG&E would benefit from that penalty. I think that the residents and the ratepayers that are within the PG&E service area should be the beneficiaries of this fine, or however we want to characterize it. We should benefit from it because, frankly, we've paid once, and the mayor made some comments, and I agree with him that a lot of these costs, that the $1 billion or the $700 million, I agree with Marcel, it's probably lower than that, but I believe, fortunately, there will be an audit conducted to make sure that the costs are accurate and that it reflects the reality of what they've spent and not something that PG&E comes up with. But it's important that the ratepayers get some benefit because we're the ones that have been the victims of this. And that was not an accident that occurred in San Bruno. I don't want to say it was intentional, but the circumstances leading up to it certainly were intentional, and that's what they have to pay for.
Well, listeners, we'd like to hear from you on this subject. You can call us now at our toll-free number, 866-733-6786. Especially like to hear from those of you in the San Bruno area, but feel free to join us with any questions or comments you might have wherever you're listening to us or however. 866-733-6786 is the number to call. You can also join the conversation on our website, kqed.org, and Facebook page, or email us, forum@kqed.org, or tweet us. Our Twitter handle is @KQEDForum. And Jerry Hill, before we bring our listeners into this, I'd like you to weigh in on PG&E's record on this. You've complained in the past on this program, in fact, about their lack of transparency on leaks, among other issues.
Well, PG&E has not been transparent, and the PUC has ignored much of what we've learned and what we've known, and the fact that they have not been responsive to the problems of the past, and that really led to the accident. If they had been doing their job, they would have held PG&E to be accountable for their actions and to do the repairs, the safety inspections, and have the accurate records that are necessary. And that's really where PG&E dropped the ball, and there was no one there to pick it up. And that's where the PUCs failed in it. And I'm a little concerned also, Michael, that, you know, as Commissioner Florio was talking about, that certainly the recommendation yesterday of the safety division will then go to the administrative law judges, and probably mid-summer they will look at this and either agree with that recommendation or come up with their own recommendation. But there's also the concern of an alternate decision. As you know, President Peavy selected himself as the commissioner, the assigned commissioner for this penalty phase, and then he added Commissioner Florio as co-commissioners for that. And even though the law says there can only be one commissioner, but in that sense, he can come up with an alternate decision that would be released at the same time as the administrative law judges that could be completely opposite of this particular recommendation, and then that would go before the other commissioners as well as this one possibly. But so this isn't we still have a fight ahead of us.
You know, I'm struck by something. Maybe before we go to callers, Mayor Wayne, you can comment on this. In an online publication called Fierce Energy, there was a good deal of, outrage about a symposium, a natural gas symposium, which includes PG&E along with the CPUC. And it's been called a dog and pony show. In fact, a lawyer for San Bruno said it's like a defendant in a criminal case taking the judge to play golf together before the judge rules on his case or his penalty. Do you want to comment on that, Mayor?
Yeah, we had the same issue a number of months ago when, in fact, the parties were negotiating, including PG&E, about fines and penalties and some of the other issues going forward. And it was sort of announced to that group that, in fact, there was going to be a federal mediator and imposed upon the group. And that, of course, was Senator Mitchell. We had no problems with Senator Mitchell at all. It was the fact that the group was not counseled at all or asked to approve that. So then we get to the symposium that, in fact, San Bruno wasn't notified of. And who's sitting, supposedly going to sit at this head table, is Chris Johns, the president of PG&E, Michael Peavy, and another commissioner. And they're not really supposed to be talking to each other until a lot of this discussion, meetings are over with all the fines and penalties and all the other things that happen. So it's like they're doing their own thing, and talk about coziness. It's just a very, very poor situation. So San Bruno filed an injunction to say, wait, either stop it or postpone it. And they said, okay, we're going to postpone it. I'm sure they're pretty chagrined, but that, in fact, is what San Bruno has to do. We've got to stay on top of this.
Again, Jim Wayne is the mayor of San Bruno, and your calls, we begin with Sam, who's joining us from Pacifica. Sam, welcome.
Yeah, hi. I don't understand why we have to pay it all, because it's my understanding when the explosion in San Bruno occurred, PG&E was never able to even come up with the records that they spent the money they were supposed to be getting for safety from the ratepayers on anything. Their record keeping was so bad that they can't even account for the money that's been spent. So why should we be spending more if they can't even account for that? And I think that was negligent. And what Jerry Hill said is correct. This wasn't an accident. I'm so surprised that there hasn't been murder charges brought up on this. Thank you.
Okay, thank you for that call. It's a bit of an editorial comment, but Marcel, you want to respond to that? I mean, he's right about the papers and all of that.
Sam's absolutely correct. PG&E has found that they were missing basic records about what pipeline was in the ground and whether it was tested for over 430 miles of pipeline located in the peninsula, in the Bay Area, in the Sacramento area, in the most populous regions of Northern California. And he's also right. That's exactly why TURN and the Commission's own Enforcement Division have recommended that PG&E pay for all of the costs to fix up their systems. You know, they're going to have to spend about $2 billion at least to test and replace almost 1,000 miles of pipeline. And the commission acted very quickly because they had to and said, PG&E, do this work now, and you have to pay for some of it, but we'll figure out later who's responsible. And now is the time to figure out that PG&E is responsible to pay for this.
Again, Marcel Haviger is staff attorney for TURN, the Utility Reform Network. More of your calls. We go to Bruce next. Bruce, join us.
Hi, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Okay, thanks.
I'm just curious, with multiple deaths and the destruction of a neighborhood, why hasn't anyone been held criminally responsible?
That's the second call that's addressing that. Senator Hill, you want to respond?
Sure. Thank you, Michael. Well, Bruce, and to Sam as well, it's my understanding in talking with the San Mateo County District Attorney recently that the U.S. Attorney's Office will be we have a window now in the next few months because the statute of limitations for state prosecution is the third anniversary, which will be September 10th. The federal has a five-year statute, but it's my understanding that we will see criminal indictments in the next few months. So I think that investigation has been ongoing since the incident, and there appears to be enough evidence to have criminal indictments, and I think we'll see it, and rightly so.
Well, I am getting a lot of emails along those lines. I'll just read one from Richard, who writes, in this era of corporate personhood, how about homicide prosecutions of those executives who repeatedly rejected their own engineers' recommendations and budgets for pipeline safety? Their willful acts resulted in 8 deaths.
And that's absolutely true. And it's my also understanding that they're trying to look at personal indictments as well. So hopefully we'll see individuals held accountable for that tragedy.
Burton writes, Michael, how is this penalty when I'm sure PG&E has taken the tax benefits of depreciating their equipment, but instead of maintaining their facilities, gave generous bonuses to executives and stockholders? They should be paying penalties and pay to fix the system for shareholders' funds, We ratepayers have already paid for this maintenance, which was not done. And another listener, Noah, writes on our Facebook page, a $2.25 billion fine for a public utility equals $2.25 billion increase in rates for PG&E customers. It's essentially a tax on customers since they are allowed to increase rates to compensate for increasing operating costs. Marcel, you want to comment on that?
Yes, I think the listeners are very astute, but a penalty that would not, PG&E cannot put that in rates, so they have to pay that out of shareholder profits, and that's the key. And I think the Commission's Enforcement Division also rightly noted that even if they use the money to fix their system, it still has to come out of shareholder profits. And there are some accounting ways to make sure that PG&E doesn't earn profits on all the pipelines they fix.
And as you can, if you remember, Marcel, too, and Michael, what occurred a few months ago on the implementation of the Phase 1 or Phase 2 improvements, the administrative law judge had recommended a reduced rate of return for them to cover some of the costs that they should have been spending over the lifetime of this system as almost a penalty in there as well. And the commissioners unanimously raised that rate of return back up to the normal amount, which here again is something that we have to be concerned about, is what the commission will do at the end of the day.
Jerry Hill again represents the 13th District. Marcel, you want to add a word here?
Just to say that the listener is also right that there are tax impacts, and in calculating the penalties that turned at $1.7 billion, we took into account the potential tax benefits to PG&E that when it fixes its own system. And that's one of the things I want to make sure the Commission's Enforcement Division, in their recommendation, they did not address this directly, and we're going to have to stay on top of it to make sure that PG&E doesn't get that tax benefit.
And we go to more of your calls. Don, join us. Hi, you're on the air. Don, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Please, go ahead.
In conjunction with what you just said, the ratepayers should not be paying for this. We already have. And the reinvestment is a very good thing. But in the form of a penalty, PG&E should be disallowed any tax benefit on any of the money that is in this proposed settlement.
All right, sir. I appreciate that. In fact, let me read a few more emails that contribute to the conversation. Sam writes, $2.25 billion is actually too low for such a terrible disaster. The company should have been seized by the state as soon as the explosion occurred and its records combed for signs of similar problems in their infrastructure to prevent it from happening again. Corporations should no longer be treated as a way for wealthy people to make money without any culpability for the actions of the corporations. If I own a dog and it bites people's children, the government can put down that dog. But if a shareholder invests in a business that kills people, the worst thing that will happen to them is that their stock dividends will be moderately reduced for 1 year. If your business kills people out of greed and negligence, you don't deserve to own that business. And Bradley, some strong passions here. Let me just read another email. It writes, given PG&E's track record for putting profits far before ratepayers' needs, I would like to see the state rewrite PG&E's business license in such a way as to put the two halves of the organization back together so that negligence and damages can no longer be passed on to the ratepayers. And that, of course, has been an ongoing source of much arguing and much passion. Let me go to more calls in the meantime. David, let's get you on. Thanks for waiting. Hi.
Thanks for taking my call. I've been an energy consultant in the Bay Area for over 30 years, and the relationship between Mike Peavy and the PUC and PG&E is an old story for most of us old people. So that's one thing that...
Me feel old here, David, yeah.
Yeah. But there are answers to this, and I think one needs to look at this from a bigger perspective, and the perspective is one of transparency. When we provide smart meters, we give people access to information, and by using that information, we can make people more empowered. We need to do exactly the same thing with everything that goes on within PG&E. There's no reason why pressure tests can't be made public. There is no reason why the information on how PG&E manages these pipelines as well as their electrical grid shouldn't be made public. Remember, these are public utilities. They need to report to us, not us to behold to them.
David, thank you for your remarks. And Mayor Wayne, we spoke earlier about the ongoing effect of this in your community in San Bruno. And I'm looking at an email here from a listener named Raymond who says, one bit of collateral damage from the PG&E explosion is the closure of a K-5 elementary school that served the children in the blast-affected area. After 55 years of providing high-quality education to San Bruno children, Crestmore Elementary School will be closed next year due to reduced enrollment and lack of funding. PG&E was asked to help keep the school open, but they declined.
Yeah, well, it's a totally separate elected school board in San Bruno, and that's an issue that they were dealing with directly.
Do you see that as collateral damage, though, as a listener?
I think a lot of that has to do with student enrollment and the decline in student enrollment and the consolidation of some schools. But that's much better answered by a school board representative than me. I will say, though, that in December, I met, along with Connie Jackson, each individual PUC commissioner to tell them our feelings about this rate issue going forward and the reduction of their potential profits. And the very next day, they all voted to give PG&E their full profits going forward. And the overwhelming theme in our discussions with those commissioners was the financial viability of PG&E going forward. It's follow the dollar, and it's disgusting. And they got an amount of $130 million Christmas bonus, if you will, from the PUC. So we have to monitor this PUC. I'm with Senator Hill. Mr. Peavy is way, way beyond what I think should be managing this particular commission.
Well, I'm hearing from all the guests this morning about the necessity to continue to monitor, and we, of course, will continue to monitor the story as we feel that's part of our obvious responsibility to you, our listeners. I want to thank Jerry Hill for being with us, California State Senator representing the 13th District, including San Bruno. Thanks for joining us, Jerry Hill.
Thank you, Michael.
Thank you to you, Marcel Havinger, here in studio, staff attorney for TURN.
Thank you very much.
And thank you, Jim Roane, Mayor of San Bruno.
Thank you very much.
We also extend our thanks to Mike Florio, Commissioner for the California Public Utilities Commission, and to you, our listeners. We're here with you Monday through Friday, 9 to 11, with an hour repeat at 10 to 11 in the evening. Another hour of Forum up ahead. We're going to talk to famed filmmaker, director, William Friedkin will join us in studio to talk about his memoir, The Friedkin Connection, and that's up ahead. This is Forum. I'm Michael Krasny.